Blog Talk Radio.
A new year, and the past is the past. Hallelujah. And the word that God gave me today is, have mercy on me and hear my prayer. But we know we do not worry, we pray, giving all honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength. Father God in heaven, we come to you today, not looking back, moving ahead, here to declare to you our past is over in you. Because, Lord God, you said in your word, you have put it, all of those things of the past, into the sea of forgetfulness, Lord. We ask you to forgive us as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lord, we ask you to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, Lord God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. For you are our Father, God, and it is in you that we live, we move, we have our being. Lord God, I this word this morning, asking you to increase as I decrease. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. And I lift up this day, Lord God, our nation, the nation I live in. And I lift up the nations around the world that listen in as well. But I lift up this nation, America, that you have allowed us to be a nation based even on the blood, the sweat, and the tears of those that were oppressed and marginalized and victimized. But Lord God, we still are a nation. And I ask you to watch over this nation today, to protect it from all kinds of evil, evil on the inside and evil on the outside. I ask you to protect our Capitol Police officers who were traumatized and victimized last year on this day. On this day, Lord, I lift up this nation, asking you, Father, to unite us in a love relationship, because we are, as we state, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice For all, let us live up to that creed, oh God, to be a just nation and to be a nation under God. And the God that we talk about is you, Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything therein. Lord God, we pray for unity, for love, for peace and joy and hope in a future. For Lord God, when you are in charge, everything falls into place. So Lord God, I lift up your name today over this nation that I love and ask you, Father God, to guide us and lead us in love. In Jesus' name, amen. As many know, this is the one-year anniversary of the insurrection at our United States Capitol building because some did not agree with the election of 2020. But we as men and women of God, we cannot get caught up in all the rhetoric of he said, she said, they said. But what we can do is pray for a united nation. Pray for a country that learns to accept differences, that learns to accept that there are winners and there are losers. And maybe you didn't win this time, but if you work hard, you may win the next time. We have got to get out of crazy and get into Jesus. You know, I don't preach politics or teach politics, but I do believe in right and wrong. And we as men and women of God cannot get caught up in lies and distortions. We got to tell the truth and let the truth be the truth. We all know, and I said this on my Twitter account, and I got vilified, but I believe it in my heart, that God is in charge of everything. And that when former president won, number 45, when he won, it was God's will. And many had a hissy fit and had all kind of moments about it. But it was God's will. Or he wouldn't have been in the position. And when 46 won, it was God's will, or he wouldn't be in the position. And understand that we as men and women of God have got to tell the truth. And when God does something, he always does it in a big way. And when God does it, you know it because you see it and you see the miracle of it. We cannot get caught up as men and women of God in lies and fallacies. We can't get caught up in telling lies to the people that listen to us. We got to tell the truth. And the truth is the truth, that it was an insurrection and it was horrible. And many, many people were hurt and many died because people chose to follow after people and treat those people as if they were God. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus Christ. As we, as men and women of faith, must look at. Don't put people on pedestals because there's only God. People fall. People are fallible. People lie. People do all kind of things, but God loves, God protects, God lifts up and not tears down. But God will show you who you are. And we as men and women of God have got to start standing up and saying, for God I live. For God I live. Don't get caught up in all the rhetoric. don't get caught up in all the crazy. Get caught up in Jesus. And pray. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Pray for unity of this nation. Pray for unity of all God's people. Pray for unity in love. Let's be blessed today. Because you're going to see all kind of stuff on television. Don't get caught up in the politics. Get caught up in what's right and what God is in charge of. And again, God is in charge of everything. Everything. And when you give it to God, you can accept defeat just as well as you can accept victory. Choose God. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Because it is prayer that changes things. Prayer that changes everything. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. So let's pray today. If you do nothing else, pray. And I am apologizing because I have not gotten out our little book of what it is that we are studying. And we are in Genesis, we are in Proverbs, we are in Psalms, and we are in Matthew. And I just want to go back over our little book, which I just love this little book. It is so adorable, but it gives us so much information in its little, I guess I was going to say 66 pages, but it's actually 95 pages, but all 66 books of the Bible. And going back to Genesis, and it says this, the author, not stated but traditionally attributed to Moses. The date Moses lived around 1400 B.C., but the events of Genesis date to the very beginning of time. God creates the world and chooses a special people. Details, please. The Bible's first book never it simply assumes his existence. In the beginning, God. Chapters 1 and 2 describe how God created the universe and everything in it simply by speaking. God said, and it was so. Humans, however, received special handling as God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And woman was crafted from a rib of man. Those first two people, Adam and Eve, lived in perfection, but ruined paradise by disobeying God at the urging of a subtle, crafty serpent. We all know the little slimy, sneaky snake, Snucky. And it goes on to tell us, seeing those humans into a moral free fall, as the world's first child, Cain, murders his brother Abel. People become so bad that God decides to flood the entire planet, saving only the righteous Noah, his family, and an ark, boat full of animals. After the earth repopulates, God chooses a man named Abram as patriarch of specially blessed people, later called Israel, after an alternative name of Abram's grandson, Jacob. Genesis ends with Jacob's son, Joseph, by a miraculous chain of events, ruling in Egypt, setting up the events of the following book of Exodus. And a quotable from Genesis, God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And that, of course, is Genesis 4 and 9. And it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, which we will be reading today in Genesis chapter. Actually, we read that already. In Genesis chapter 6. We're on the sixth day. That's why I'm looking at 6 here. Genesis chapter 11 is where we are this morning. Genesis chapter 6, which we did read earlier this week. And it says, he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. And then it goes on to say, unique and unusual. Genesis quickly introduces the concept of one God in multiple persons, a concept later called the Trinity. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis 1:26. Emphasis added. Also early on, God gives a hint of Jesus' future suffering and victory when he curses the serpent for deceiving Eve. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. So what? Genesis answers the great question, where did I come from? Knowing the answer can give us meaning in a world that's otherwise hard to figure out. And let's go over to Psalms. The Psalm in Proverbs. And it says there's various and nearly half attributed to King David. Other names noted include Solomon, Moses, Asaph, Ethan, and the sons of Korah. Many Psalms don't mention an author. Date approximately 1400 B.C., Moses' time, through the 500s B.C. and the time of the Jews of Babylonian exile. In 10 words or less, describing Psalms. And it is ancient Jewish psalm book, showcases prayers, praise, complaints to God. Details, please. Over several centuries, God led various individuals to compose emotionally charged poems, of which 150 were later compiled into the book we know as Psalm. Many of the Psalms are described as updated, meaning they could be by, for, or about Israel's great. Highlights of the book include the Shepherd's Psalm 23, which described God as protector and provider. David's cry for forgiveness after his sin with Bathsheba, Psalms 51, and Psalms of Praise 100 is a powerful example. And the celebration of Scripture found in Psalm 119, which almost all of the 176 verses make some reference to God's law, statutes, commandments, precepts, words, and the like. Some Psalms called imprecatory, I never could get that word right. Imprecatory, call for God's judgment on enemies. Psalm 69:109, for example. Many psalms express agony of spirit on the writer's part, but nearly every psalm returns to the theme of praise to God. That's the way the book of Psalms ends. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's Psalms 150:6. Praise ye the Lord. Quotable, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8:1. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The 23rd Psalm, verse 1. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We know that Psalm 51:10. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Psalm 121:1-2. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133:1. Unique and unusual, the book of Psalms is the Bible's longest in terms of both number and chapters, 150, and total word count. It contains the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, with 176 verses, and the shortest, Psalm 117, with 2 verses. Psalm 117 is also the midpoint of the Protestant Bible, with 594 chapters before it and 594 chapters after it. And that's a trivial question. Psalm 117 is the midpoint of the Protestant Bible, which is the midpoint of our Bible. 159 chapters before it and 159 chapters after it. That is a highlightable and that is a good trivial question. And again, another good trivial question is Psalm 119 with 176 verses, and it is the longest chapter in the Bible. And so what else? So what? The Psalms run the gamut of human emotions, which is why so many people turn to them in times of both joy and sadness. Proverbs, author primarily Solomon, with sections attributed to the wise, Agar, and King Lemuel. Little is known of the latter two. Solomon and the dates. Solomon reigned approximately 970 to 930 B.C. The staff of King Hezekiah, who lived about 200 years later, copied out the latter chapters of the book we have today, 25 and 1. In 10 words or less, piety, memorable sayings, encourage people to pursue wisdom. The details, please. Proverbs doesn't have a storyline. It's simply a collection of practical tips for living, mainly from the pen of King Solomon, the wisest human being ever. In 1 Kings 3 and 12, God said, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like thee unto thee. The Proverbs speak to issues such as work, money, sex, temptation, drinking, laziness, discipline, and child rearing. Underlying each proverb is the truth that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1 and 7. Quotable, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, Proverbs 3 and 5. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the happiness of his mother. 10 and 1. As a jewel of gold is in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. 11 and 22. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth his chasteneth him betimes. 13 and 24. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. 15 and 1. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. 17 and 28. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. 18 and 10. Wine is a mark of strong drink and raging. 20 and 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. 22 and 1. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. 26 and 14. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. 27 and 6. Unique and unusual. The final chapter of Proverbs includes a long poem in praise of wives, rather unusual for that time and culture. So what? Wisdom, as Proverbs 47:4-7 indicates, is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding. If you need help with that, just ask God, James 1 and 5. There's a lot it's a whole lot in Proverbs and in Psalms and Matthew. Today in Matthew it says, not stated. It says, not stated, but traditionally attributed to Matthew, a tax collector, and 9 and 9. Matthew is also known as Levi, Mark 2 and 14. The date of Matthew is approximately AD 70, when Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. In 10 words or less, Jesus fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. The details, please, of Matthew. The first of the four Gospels, meaning good news. The book of Matthew ties what follows in the New Testament to what came before in the Old Testament. The book, written primarily to a Jewish audience, uses numerous Old Testament references to prove that Jesus is the promised Messiah. The Jews have been anticipating for centuries, beginning with a genealogy that shows Jesus' ancestry through King David and the patriarch Abraham. Matthew then details the angelic announcement of Jesus' conception and the visit of the wise men with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew introduces the character of John the Baptist, relative and forerunner of Jesus, and describes the calling of key disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, John. And Jesus' teachings are emphasized with long passages covering his Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7, which we just read, including the Beatitudes, blessed are they, and the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. As with all four Gospels, Matthew also details the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and is the only biographer of Jesus to mention several miracles, the tearing of the temple curtain, an earthquake, the breaking open of tombs, and the rising of life of dead saints that occurred during that time. Chapter 27, verses 50 to 54, quotable. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. 5:13-14, which we read on yesterday. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. 5:44. Judge not, yet ye be judged. 7:1. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. 7:7. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. Unique and unusual. Matthew is the only gospel to use the term church and kingdom of heaven. So what? As Messiah, Jesus is also king and worthy of our worship. And that is our overview for today. And let's get into some word before our time is up. And it says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, now the whole earth had not had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from here, from there, over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And after he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Shelah. After he begot Shelah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Shelah lived 30 years and begot Eber. After he begot Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begot Serug. After he begot Sharuk, Reuel lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. Sharuk lived 30 years and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Sharuk lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran and father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. Both Sarai were barren. She had no children. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. The land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, indeed I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male, female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh came to Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Psalm 4, 1 through 3. To the chief musician with string instruments, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. That's our title from this word today. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O sons, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. It's as if they wrote this word for today. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Wow, what a word. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28 through 33. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. I'm going to read verse 33 one more time. But whoever listens to me, listens to God, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. What a word. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 48. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast in the hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast in the hell. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one white hair white or black. Woo. But let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. And I'm reading that again. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And those are hard, aren't they? I just have to say that. What Jesus just said in this word is hard. Somebody's going to slap you and you're going to turn the other cheek so they can slap you again. Come on now. Somebody wants to sue you and you say, all right, just take everything. And then it goes on to tell you, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And I will say verse 38 through verse 42 are the hardest words in the Bible. Because it is hard. If somebody slaps you, your inclination is to slap them back. That's your inclination. But Jesus is saying, oh, don't do that. If they think that it's all right to smack you, go ahead and let them hit you. But understand, I remember it's my own childhood getting beat up every day on the way home until my auntie saw it and said if I didn't beat that person up, they was going to spank me or they was going to beat me up. And I would rather deal with beating that person up than my auntie beat me up. Because the difference in age between me and my aunties was only 8 years, was me and my youngest aunt. And I'm telling you, I did not want to fight her. And I knew I could beat the girl that I was allowing to beat me up. I was following this. She pushed me. I let her push me some more. Because I was being raised in two different types of households. One said girls didn't fight. The other said you beat their behind. And they will leave you alone. And so I was trying to follow the edits of one that good girls didn't fight. And I was trying to be a good girl. But when them aunties saw that good girl getting beat up, they was like, you better beat her up. And so I did. And it was pretty bad. And as I had to make sure I let everybody know who thought that I was crazy, I didn't fight because I didn't want to fight, not that I couldn't fight. And that's what people take for granted. They think they take your niceness for weakness. And some of us are trying to follow the edit of Christ, not to be beating people up that beat us up. Because we know that when somebody hurts your feelings and says something to you, your fingers want to get the walking because your fingers are your fists these days. Folks get on Facebook, folks get on Twitter and Instagram and say some things that are horrible. They get on Reddit and say some awful things because those fingers got to doing the fighting. Fingers got to walking. We got to keep our fingers in check. You don't have to say everything that comes to mind because what you may be saying is not you doing what Jesus said, turning that other cheek. And if we go to, and let us go to verse 43, it says, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And sins rain on the just and on the unjust. God is not picking sides. He is with the good, he's with the bad, and he's with the downright ugly. God sees everything and he's everywhere. But understand that God has given us some things that we got to think about. Because Jesus, some of the stuff that he's telling us, and Matthew is hard. It is hard. But God never makes anything easy for us. But he's always there with us that when we stumble, when we fall, he's there to pick us up. And I'm going to read this again. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Actually, let's go on back to verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And we know that's the truth. And sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Again, true. But if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Wow. Do not even the tax collectors do the same. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? And understand, it's a tax collector writing this book. Excuse me, a former tax collector writing this book. And then as we continue, it says this, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And let's go back and get some life lessons in. If there's someone that would like to speak, or if this word has touched you, or you have something to say, please push the number 1 on your phone. Your lines will be open. This has been an awesome word this morning. Because we all have our moments in time where we want to go and we want to fight, but we can't. Because the word tells us, have mercy on me and hear my prayer. So if we're asking God to have mercy on us, then we got to have mercy on others. What a mighty God we serve. Genesis 12:1, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And this is a life lesson from Dr. Stanley, that God always connects obedience with blessing, even when he does not sketch out the full details of what that blessing may be. Time to go to work. Genesis 12:7, the Lord appeared to Abram, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. The Lord appeared to Abram only. Excuse me. Excuse me. Got a tickle this morning. The Lord appeared to Abram only after Abram obeyed his voice by moving to Canaan. As Abram's faith grew, so did the details of God's promise to him. Genesis 12:10, life lesson. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there. Men and women of faith must endure hardship just like anyone else. But God wants to use adversity to deepen and strengthen our relationship with him. That's awesome. God loves us. And yes, we all go through. Some of us more than others. But understand that you don't know. Through your adversity, you are helping someone be better. Someone know that they are loved by God. Because he will bring you to it, but he always brings you through it. All you have to do is have faith. How can I become a more obedient child of God? And how do we do that? This is what Dr. Stanley tells us. 1, all obedience begins with faith in the sovereignty of God. 2, we grow in obedience by waiting for God's timing. 3, we continue to grow in obedience by refusing to subject God's plan to common sense or the reasoning of the world. 4, the final step. Prompt obedience. If you long to obey God, you will not hesitate when he tells you to do something. Many times we fail to obey God because we fear the consequences, yet he never requires us to do anything outside his will for our lives. Our only responsibility is to obey. God's responsibility is to take care of the consequences of our obedience. And as we continue, in Matthew 5:28, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for just her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus made it clear that God is not after outward compliance, but inward change. He doesn't want religious fanatics. But transformed men and women. He wants people who love to do his will. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Matthew 5:37. Jesus frowned on oath taking. We tend to break our oaths and a broken oath reflects badly on God's holy character. Our word should be just as trustworthy as an oath. And I know you've all heard the term, your word is your bond. Matthew 5:48, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The only way to be perfect as the Father is perfect is to be clothed through faith with the righteousness of Christ necessary. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. And that is our word this morning. Thank you so very much for listening in. And may the Lord add a blessing to the teaching and reading of his holy word. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. And as we continue one more time, we pray together, have mercy on me and hear my prayer, O Lord, for our great nation today. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ. And this is the word from Sister Carolyn, which just sums everything up. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday, family. And as we know in our word, what did we see? God's hand in Abraham's life. And what did God do? Blessed Abram. And sorry. Have a blessed day, family. That's it. If there's anyone that wants to speak, now is the time. If not, we are wrapping it up this morning. Because why? It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And know there's only one God, and he loves you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.